Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No Lance this morning. Lance has jury duty, which he's trying to get out of. He wants to wear a Bone Thugs t-shirt. No. Not really. Mike, three. That's, oh, what?
Two.
Two.
Yeah, you're
there
on.
There it is.
Four.
Now I hear you.
Three, two.
There it is.
Yeah, Harrison on the board, because I got a feeling for Lance, because he's, I guess, lazy. He couldn't get a jury duty. He's asking us, or asking me directly, because he's racist. Can I wear a Bone Thugs and Harmony t-shirt?
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know why he's asking me.
Because he's racist.
Well, there it is.
Okay.
It's simple. You ask a lot of questions, and you contradict yourself throughout. And then they say, they can't read you, and they say,
yeah.
Get out.
No. If they ask you, so, do you think that someone that gets injured should be able to get unlimited amount of money? And you say, absolutely. I think they should get billions of dollars from the plaintiff. And then later you say, oh, I don't think they should get anything from the plaintiff. And then they're everybody's like, what the hell?
And you got to be mealy-mouthed and not be very sure of yourself. And if it's like a criminal trial, you could say, if it's dealing with, I don't know, something like assault and battery, you go, well, did she deserve it?
What did she say exactly?
Yeah, what did she say to revoke the gentleman?
Right.
And then you say,
right.
No, there's nothing she could have said that could have led to something like that. He deserves to go to jail.
Or at some point, if you refer to her as that dingy broad.
Yeah, did that dingy broad piss him off?
Yeah. Then that's perfect.
Those are things that will trigger the defense attorney or the prosecutor to probably remove you from
absolutely.
The jury.
So that's the way to get out of it, Lance, not Bone Thugs t-shirts.
I don't think they care, because if you don't say anything, they're not going to notice it. Be very vocal and be mealy-mouthed and don't know what you're saying.
Actually, while they're asking another juror, potential
you
juror,
that
you
juror?
Stand up.
Hey, I got something to say about this. I've got an idea. I've got a thought.
That's exactly what you do. So that's how you get out of it, Lance. So anyway, no Lance. He's on jury duty. He'll be back tomorrow. Or
maybe. We don't know.
We don't know. Maybe.
If he's one of those dopey fools who can't get out of jury duty.
Maybe he'll get the O.J. Simpson case.
What if he did get a murder trial?
That would be so funny. Every day. That would be the best. So anyway, that's happening today. We got a lot to talk about. So what is greater? Astros 11 in a row, 10-0 on the road trip, first ever road trip that they're 10-0, or Brooks Koepka dominating and winning the U.S. Open, or Mexico over Germany?
A disgusting display by the Germans. Not that I've ever rooted for the Germans in anything, but I'm like, what the hell?
Well, wait a minute. We love our neighbors.
So
why can't we root for... Why can't Landon Donovan root for Mexico?
Because he's trash. I love La Raza. I love what they bring to the station. I love them just as individuals, but I'm not rooting for Mexico to win anything, in soccer particularly.
What the hell?
I grew up.
Yes, we're going to build a wall. We don't want any of their people here.
I grew up in Southern California on the stories of them throwing baggies of urine at our players as they walked into Azteca
and
batteries as well. I will never root for them.
What's the problem? That happens in San Francisco all the time.
Yeah, and you see me rooting for the Giants or the 49ers? No.
So this is what happens. And you know what? That's just good, clean sportsmanship.
Man, Landon Donovan did it for the bag. I get it. You want to get paid. I get it. But don't
Why
be sanctimonious. I said that's fine. But don't be sanctimonious about it and be like, Wait a minute, Carlos Bocanegra, who was a former national team member. Don't you realize that your dad is of Mexican descent and all the things Mexican culture has done for you? It's like, fine, shut up. You're getting paid. You're from Wells Fargo. Quiet down. Trash ass Landon Donovan. I can't.
You didn't even mention his hair.
Well, I didn't. Well, that's not a nice thing to do.
Trash asses. But no, okay. But let's not mention his hair.
Hey, man, he can't control that. That's genetic. I can control his trash.
Thank you.
His trash ass.
Yeah, but
behavior.
Tell me. I mean, well, didn't you make a mention of Tigers? That.
No, I made
mange. He's got
no because Tiger is a black dude, and I get Landon struggling because he's a white guy.
Tiger can shave that.
That's my point. That's why I get after Tiger. You can shave it and get away with it. You can go with the Kobe. Kobe kept pushing it back, but it was low, so no one cared. And plus, he's a black man. It doesn't matter as much. I get Landon struggling, looking for strands, moving them around. I get that.
Yeah, but he's very Jordan Spieth-ish.
But Tiger, it's easy. Get it done.
Yeah. How much golf did you watch?
I didn't watch. You know what? I'm on YouTube TV, so it's a little bit, it's more difficult for me to change stuff. Because I got to go to my laptop and change stuff. So it was on, but I can't remember seeing a shot. Like, it was on at some point, and I realized, why is this on? And then I flipped it. I didn't see a shot. It was
full of it.
No, I'm not.
Was on.
Like they would be talking, and they'd be, Brooks Koepka's approaching. And then I would realize, wait a minute, Brooks Koepka sounds like a golfer. I'm out.
What the hell was that? Why did I get on this?
Yeah, exactly.
Were you watching Family Guy?
No, what happened was I was watching soccer, and then it led into golf, and I was like, this isn't going well.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
hey,
I got to get out of here.
What is that?
I got to get out of here.
That must be Juan. Yeah. Let's get Juan in here. He wants to talk about that Mexico-Germany game. What do you say, Juan?
Ole, 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 ole.
Oh, mira.
Johnny.
¿Qué pasó?
Hey, it was not a lucky goal. It was a well-deserved goal, and we deserved to win. So,
yeah.
Who said lucky? Yeah. I never said it was lucky. I said I didn't like it.
No.
Yeah, well, I liked it. Because you know what? I love all people.
You didn't watch the match.
I didn't watch a second.
Yeah, what are you talking about? You love all people.
I love all people.
Juan, don't let.
You know what I did watch, though? Do you know what I did watch? CR7 scores a hat trick. That's what I watched.
Yeah.
And then I watched Messi miss a penalty kick.
Exactly.
You know what's funny about that whole exchange?
No, he's not special. He's very average.
You know what's funny about the whole exchange? Because you took to Twitter to get after me, Messi. I don't even remember ever liking Messi. I don't ever remember talking high on Messi.
You've always said
because he plays
Messi's the best.
No, he plays for Barcelona, and I can't stand him. No. I don't remember a time where I was like, you know what? Messi's the greatest.
Yeah. Whenever we have that argument, you always side with Messi.
And the only time I ever do it is simply to get you to talk about soccer.
Oh,
because I don't like Messi, and I don't like Barcelona. I always pick Real and CR7 over him. It's really you, and you're my puppet, and I like to see you dance.
So Juan, how did you celebrate the Mexican win? Juan,
he's gone. Get out of here, Juan.
Beat it, Juan.
Jose sends me something. He goes EAD, and he sends three Mexican flags.
Oh.
So is that at me or is that Mexico, Jose?
That was at you, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think he's a fan of the El Tri. Whatever, you won. Screw you, Mexico. Soccer. Let's be clear. I don't mind Mexico as a country or the people like Jose. If you're root for Mexico, that's fine. But for this month or however long you're involved, screw Mexico. Screw El Tri.
Wow. That's ugly. That was Dell. I don't
Chicharito,
EAD. I love the Mexican people. Now, you know what?
Lozano, you can eat it too.
Whoa.
You guys, Rafa Marquez, old ass, fifth World Cup. Why don't you go headbutt somebody else and should get a red card but only get a yellow? Beat it, Rafa. I hate them all.
See, we built a wall in here. Okay.
It shouldn't got wall.
If you're on the, what is this called again? The cameras, the feed, whatever. The live stream. If you're watching the live stream, you see a new background for us. It's a wall. I don't think this has anything to do with Mexico.
No.
But if we do build, I see here, I'm a proponent.
Would you tear the wall down?
Being able to help people over the wall. I want to see the wall built, but I'm going to help people get over it.
I think we built the wall incorrectly. It clearly should be see-through. So when we can see the people approaching and then help them over
and
the wall.
And throwing drugs. giant boxes of drugs bags of drugs so no one gets hurt on the other side.
Yeah, no one wants to get hit in the head by a giant box of drugs. That's why this wall needs to be see-through.
So that's our president. That's unbelievable. Anyway, so what a weekend. What a great weekend of minor sports that no one cares about.
Yeah, well, let's be clear. Okay. I mean, they're very niche in this country, soccer and golf. But around the world, clearly soccer wins. But how about your whiny-ass golfers? Could you guys just play the course? Stop bitching. It's embarrassing.
I'm already writing my article for Sports Map talking about how embarrassing golf is. I got on a text with Charlie. I mean, golfers just hate the USGA, and that's all. I thought it was compelling Saturday. Brandel shit. Now, this is how sick I am. After the round on Saturday, it's Saturday evening, I turned on Golf Channel to watch.
What is the matter with you?
So, Brandel Chambly and Frank Nabilo, they were all little bitches. Oh my God, I was and that's what set me off. It wasn't Zach Johnson who said they lost the course, and you know, I could see the players being, you know, but Brandel Chambly, who was at a party earlier in the week in the Hamptons with all this rich, he was so complaining about the USGA, and I'm like, shut up, Brandel Chambly. You know what? You sound like a whiny little biznatch, and I can't be more embarrassed for golf. You know what it was? It was a test of endurance. It was a test under the most difficult conditions. One guy was still able to shoot 72, though, somehow, while Ricky was shooting 84. It's so hot. One guy, Brooks Koepka, shot 72. You know what? That's two over. You know what happens at the Masters all the time when the wind blows? High scores. You know what happened at the U.S. Open when the winds blew? High scores. Oh, well, that's what happens. And, the USGA should have prepared for... Hey, the wind blew. Stop crying like little bitches.
I mean, it's the equivalent of watching a soccer dude roll around the ground after getting clipped. He rolls for 20 yards after getting barely touched. Yeah. That's what these guys are doing. Shut up. I know it's difficult, you guys. You're having a hard time out there. Because the wind decided to blow a little hard. Just play the play the course.
Listen, when the wind wasn't blowing, the best score was 66. Two guys shot 66. When the wind did blow, the best guy shot 72. It was a 6-stroke difference. You know what happens when the wind blows? About 6 strokes. Oh, well, about 6 shots. Yeah, but that was about right. Oh, well, other guys played so poorly. Well, you know what? They played poorly. You know what could have happened? You could have played better, like Brooks Koepka, and you could have won the U.S. Open.
Two-time defending champion now, Brooks Koepka.
Back-to-back. So the first time since 89, since Curtis Strange, who interviewed him afterwards. That was neat. Anyway, so that happened this weekend, and we'll talk about it. I know Charlie Epps feels differently about it, and we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. But Richard Justice is going to join us bottom of the hour to talk about our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. In the meantime, I need to talk about my friends over at Allied Siding and Windows. That I can say Leonard Courtright is my friend. You're damn right I can. You know why? Because I've met with him, talked to him. He is a really neat guy. And he is a great, great businessman. He has a business model that says, you don't pay me until I finish the job and you're completely satisfied. All right. You don't put anything down, zero down. You got 100% financing available, a 30-year non-prorated warranty. And you can get your whole home siding with the overhangs and the trim and the siding on an average of $150 a month. That is really, really, really low for an average size house. So if you're looking for a great way, plus a $500 Amazon certificate with a whole home siding purchase, look, I've sold my house before. I sold it before I knew about Renter's Warehouse, but I sold it and it had to be perfect. And your house has to be perfect. It has to look good. And if it doesn't look good, you ain't selling it. And if it doesn't, you know, and if you can't sell it, you have to put something into it. And that's Allied Siding and Windows. 713 Windows, 713 Windows. Allied Siding and Windows. Local, affordable, reliable.
young metro, don't trust you, I'm gonna shoot.
Beautiful morning, yeah, the sun, morning.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, Lance, Dallas here. Harrison's on the board. If you want to call in, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I disagree wholeheartedly with this story that we're talking about Kawhi Leonard possibly going to the Lakers. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Spurs have. I think the Spurs are behind the scenes have already said we ain't doing that.
Yeah, that is a story. I'm forgetting the guy's name, but he broke the LeBron to Cleveland, went back to Cleveland News, and he said there's no way the Spurs would trade him.
Would you
to
take
an LA
Lonzo
to
and
team.
Kuzma for Kawhi?
See, that whole thought is, well, the Spurs have no leverage, so they have to take what the, and because Kawhi has made it clear he wants to be in LA, no one's going to give them anything. I still would take. I don't know if that's enough.
Yeah,
for
but
me.
If you really want to get Kawhi, I know he's only got a year left. I know that, but you say, listen, you're going to sign a long term deal here because we're going to get LeBron to come in here. We want you to be a long term Laker. I don't know that it would be a bad deal to get Kuzma and Lonzo for him.
And I would look to see if you could get another first round pick out of them. I don't know if it's this year's, considering how high it'll be, but maybe if the Lakers have this grand plan, and they know it's going to come off where their next pick is going to be a late round pick. I would try to find a way to get a first rounder out of them,
mm-hmm.
another first rounder.
If you get,
and they're probably have to take Luol
Deng back, and somehow manage to finagle Paul George and LeBron. I mean, what's the difference? Why would you? You don't need Kuzma and Lonzo.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're looking at 33, and then the other two are under 30. So they're not old, obviously. But you don't want to give away assets if you don't have to. And I guess the thought is, hey. They're going to try to shake the Spurs down. You guys aren't going to get anything out of this because no one's going to give you anything because they know he wants to come here. If you're this, but well, I got to find the guy's name. But he said the Spurs would rather take 75 cents on the dollar than actually give Kawhi what he wants by trading him to LA.
Right. No, I think they'll trade him to the East.
Yeah, that was the thought.
Yeah. It sure would be nice if they traded him to the Rockets and then we'd stop this. Oh, my God.
That's still the West, John.
Friday, I get a text from a buddy. Hey, LeBron is at Kincaid. And I was like, no, he's not. And he's like, yes, it's confirmed. We've seen it. I'm not going to say her name. There's a girl there named Emma. I'm not going to say her last name. She works there. She went to school there. She saw him. She has. So I called Emma's dad. And said, did Emma see him? No. Well, it's out there that Emma saw LeBron at the Kincaid school looking and with his kids and possibly. And listen, the guy that I called is one of the coaches there. And he said that was the rumor. And the kids, because now they have camps there. It's just camps. There's no school going on, obviously. They went nuts. They just ran to the school, and they were running all over the school looking for LeBron because the rumor was LeBron was in there looking, and he wasn't. And then the rumor got there that he was at Episcopal, and you know, and it was confirmed that LeBron, oh, my God, he wasn't. He wasn't at Episcopal either. It's LeBron mania is so stupid. I mean, that people are just making this stuff up. And just throwing it out there and to look, LeBron ain't coming to Houston. LeBron ain't coming to Houston.
What are you doing, John? You're ruining LeBron mania for everybody. Yeah. We still got at least two weeks.
I want to ruin LeBron mania
for
everybody.
I feel like,
can we stop it?
I feel like at some point, as this continues, you're going to just be like, screw LeBron. I don't want him here because you will just go oppo of everyone. You'll get sick and tired of the rumors. And I say rumors in quotes because they're not rumors if he's literally not.
No,
it's wild speculation. You'll just turn it around and go, I don't want him here.
No, I want him here.
Well,
don't get me wrong.
No,
but I'm going to tell you, I believe, what was her name, Ridenour?
Marla Ridenour.
Yeah, Marla Ridenour, when she said, LeBron doesn't like Houston. He doesn't want to come here. Okay, I believe that. I really do. Maybe LeBron likes L.A.? Okay. I can believe that LeBron would not like the culture here or the city or whatever and say, "Nah, I'm not going there." Okay, I would believe that. I believe that more than I believe LeBron is touring Kincaid.
Of course, your private school people have to screw everything up.
Well, that's not no. See, Chris Paul's kids are going to Kincaid next year. He's moved to Memorial from Carlton Woods, and
so
he's,
Kincaid's getting in early on having young Chris Paul. I don't know what the kid's first name is. I just know he's relatively famous because he's been in stuff with his dad. They're trying to get that kid on the court already. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about?
Yeah.
Huh.
And
I don't even know if that kid plays basketball. You know what would happen if Bronny Junior came here?
Oh my.
You know what would happen if Bronny was leading? What's the name of the school? What's the nickname for the Kincaid school?
It's the Kincaid.
The Crusaders?
Falcons.
The Falcons. You know, if Bronny was the point guard for the Kincaid school Falcons, how packed that gym would be?
I don't know if you know this, but last year they had a kid that's going to Kentucky.
Well, he's not Bronny, though.
No, he's not Bronny.
No. Go to Kentucky all you want. He's not Bronny.
The Bronny mania would be, it would be out of control. But what about Chris Paul's kid's mania?
Isn't he like 9? How old is Chris Paul's kid right now?
All I do know is that it's not happening. Can we stop this? Can people please stop all of this LeBron stuff? Okay? It's just, first of all, the day before, he was at an LA school, which the LA school said,
no, he wasn't here.
He wasn't here.
LeBron's probably in St. Bart's.
He's on a banana boat. Okay? He's not touring schools. He's on a banana boat right now with his friends, with the banana boat friends. Which Chris Paul is one of them, by the way.
That's the connection. I'm aware, John. I'm aware. That's why he wants to come here, because he was on a banana boat once with Chris Paul.
That's right. The banana boat boys.
Of course, he was with Carmelo and Dwayne Wade as well.
Which is more, I don't know.
What do you say, effeminate? What are you looking
for? That or Raheel going to Schlitterbahn with all his boys?
Well, at least the banana boat boys, I know they're on a phallic object, but at least they were in a tropical vacation spot. They didn't go to, I don't even think he didn't go to Galveston. Where did he go?
No, he went to New Braunfels.
They didn't go travel to New Braunfels together and then ride a slide, arms locked and legs locked.
Mm.
So to answer your question, the New Braunfels trip is far more effeminate, probably because they're the pores.
Yeah, thank you. I probably agree with that.
Yeah.
But to be all the guys on one banana boat.
At least they weren't locked arm and legs together. It was close. I mean, let me ask you this. What's more effeminate, being locked together like Raheel's friends were, or being locked on a phallic symbol together like that?
There you go. I don't know. I think this is a tie now. I think we got to push. All right. 713-780-3776. The number to hang with us, but Richard Justice is joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. So we'll call Richard and we're going to talk some Astros baseball. KJ, call back and we'll talk U.S. Open a little bit later. We've also got Billy and Charlie joining us at the top of the hour. Right now, though, I'm talking Renter's Warehouse. Renter's Warehouse is the place for you. And I was just talking about selling your home. If I'd have known about Renter's Warehouse before I sold my home, then I would have been I wish I had known about Rich Drake and the people over there, because I would have never sold my house. I would be out of there, and I would be renting it out, and I would still own my home, and it would be awesome because I would still own it instead of getting rid of it, and I don't have that asset anymore. You can keep your home. You can keep that asset, and someone else will pay off your mortgage. That is spectacular. Look, find out. Just call 713-224-RENT. Call them right now. Tell them how many square feet you have, where your house is. You know, they'll ask, you know, the area code and the neighborhood, and they'll find out about the school district, and they'll give you a quote over the phone how much you can rent, about the neighborhood that you can rent your house for. All you got to do is call 713-224-RENT. At least find this out. And oh, by the way, you could rent out your home in an average of 17 days, as opposed to the years that it's taking to sell your home right now. So you're looking for a great way to get out of that house and yet hold on to it. All you got to do, 713-224-RENT or renterswarehouse.com.
So welcome to the good life.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Lance is off today. Jury duty. Hopefully he gets picked for the OJ trial.
Or something similar.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, something where it's complicated and there's a lot of evidence that needs to be brought forth in front of a jury. We don't need Lance, right?
No. We got Richard Justice with us right now here on ESPN 97.5, MLB's own, joining us here to talk about our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. Richie, how are you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing? I think Lance will get them to break down the tape on the crime.
About the hips and the, how well he wielded the knife. Yeah,
right. This guy couldn't have done it. He doesn't go to his right.
He doesn't have the hip flexibility.
Yeah. He doesn't have that ability. No, look how stiff-legged he is. Richard Justice here, and our team is so good right now. Yep. So we have to talk about our club. Yep. The first 10-0 trip, 11 straight wins. And it's all coming together right now. Well, almost all coming together right now, Richie. This team is after a sluggish kind of a start, this is what we thought they would be. Of course, look at who they're playing, though. When they played the Red Sox, Yankees, and the Indians, they scuffled a little bit. But that's how it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah. They were 6-7 in that tough stretch. And then they started a stretch of 36 in a row with teams with losing record. And they're 10-0 on that 36 in a row. They beat Seattle to end that one. And now Seattle goes on a trip. Now they start tomorrow on a trip to Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, and to Baltimore. So they're in for a little tough sledding. I mean, all the forecasts are the Astros are still going to win the AL West by 10 games. And what's happened is they've gotten the bullpen straightened out. Ken Giles is not the closer anymore. Rondon hasn't allowed a run in a month. And Gattis is the hottest hitter in baseball. Now, John, the interesting part is they're back home. They score two more runs a game on the road. They got the best road record in baseball. They're like ninth or tenth in home winning percentage. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But they're coming home and they're playing the Rays. They're playing the Royals and they're playing the Blue Jays. It ought to be a good homestand.
So Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, let's ask some tough questions. What do you do with Dallas Keuchel?
I'm working on that right now. This is going to laugh at this, but his start in Arlington was the unluckiest start of any pitcher this year. He had only three hard hit balls. Now some of that's location. When you hit a soft hit ball through the shift, that tells you weren't locating the ball in the right place. He's frustrated. I think what you do is you play the schedule, you play the standings, and you see if you can get him turned around. Obviously, if the playoffs started today, I mean, if they would go Verlander, Cole, Morton, McCullers, and Dallas. I don't know what role Dallas would be, and it's more enticing because McHugh has pitched so well. Now, when Gattis stunk, when Marlin stunk, Reddick stunk, A.J. Hinch would say, I know my club better than anybody. And he never wavered in faith in those guys. In fact, you know, even in private conversations, I would say, like, what are you going to do when Reddick comes back? And he'd go, what am I going to do? I'm going to put him out in right field. I'm going to play him every day. That's what I'm going to do. And so, you know, like the best example was George Springer struck out four times in game one of the World Series. Hey, you're going to bench him. You're going to move him down. You can't just, you can't just go with what's not working. And the noise was so loud that he actually reached out to George and said, it's just noise. I believe in you. You're one of the reasons we're here, et cetera. So I guess my answer is I trust AJ on this, but Dallas does need to be better. On the other hand, I don't think he has stunk as bad as some of the numbers look.
What's his value as far, or at least his standing in that clubhouse? Their seniority, we know the Cy Young from, 3 years ago or so now. How is he looked at in that clubhouse, and would there be a shift if he was a guy who got demoted from the starting role?
Well, first of all, how he's looked at in the clubhouse, you know, those of us on the outside are never going to know that. What I know about the clubhouse is it changed from the moment Verlander arrived in terms of the pitchers. He set a different Brian McCann said this on the record. He said he just set a different standard for everybody in terms of expectations. And when you think about it, you know, they started last year and you kind of would see Keuchel, McCullers at the front of the rotation. Now it's three different guys because given the way Morton has pitched. But I think the one thing they have in that clubhouse is, and this is the not surprising but pleasant part of winning a championship, you wonder if the camaraderie and the cohesiveness and the aggressiveness and the fun, just the fun. You look at their dugout and you go, God, I'd like to be down there. Those guys are having some fun. They haven't lost any of that. So I think I don't think it matters. I think they trust the manager enough to do what's right for the club, and you go from there. And I think the one thing he tries to sell every day is it's about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. And that everything I do, and this is what separates managers, is what I believe is in the best interest of the club. The way he has handled Ken Giles has been amazing in that, you know, Giles had a couple of bad games in April, and AJ called him in and said, you're going to have to trust me on this. No, I'm sorry. Giles went in and was not happy. And he said, because he had let Peacock finish a game, and he said, you're going to have to trust me on this. You had a bad October. We cannot allow this to spill into a bad April because that creates all sorts of negative stuff around the club. So you just trust me. And I think maybe along the way what he's figured out is maybe Ken, right now at least, is better pitching the eighth instead of the ninth.
We all feel that way. If you want,
you know, there are guys that are different like that. Ben Wagner always said you kind of got to be an idiot to pitch the ninth inning. You got to have no memory, like whatever. You know, when Billy Wagner got to Philadelphia, he gave up a 3-run homer to lose the game early, and the writers couldn't believe he was standing in front of his locker, and he said. Well, if I give up another one, I'll be standing here tomorrow because I probably will give up another one at some point. And it's just that what he told Brad Lidge after giving up the Pujols home run was, it's not what you did last night. It's what you're going to do tonight and how you react to it. And so closer is a different sort of mentality. On the other hand, Giles' stuff is so good that it's just a matter of, you got to just, rebuild him, give him a chance to rebuild and go from there.
Yeah, that's that Lidge gave up the home run to a guy who hadn't hit any homers after that.
Right, yeah. The guy that got no intentional walks that postseason.
Right. We got Richard Justice here with us on ESPN 97.5. Call your shot right now. At the end of the year, the Astros will be more inclined to sign Charlie Morton than Dallas Keuchel.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, look. Martin's going to – they tried to sign Dallas after the Cy Young year. Didn't work out. In all these things, you have to make decisions on who you can keep and who you can't keep. They were so aggressive in trying to sign Charlie. Charlie went into free agency 18 months ago thinking, nobody thinks I'm going to be able to stay healthy. I may not even get a major league contract. The Astros were so aggressive, and they believed that they had something, could get something special out of him, that he told his agent, hey, don't negotiate with anybody else. This club really wants me. So we'll see, but I wouldn't rule anything out. You know, I mean, there's a great affection for what Dallas has done here. When Jeff Luno got to Houston, when Brett Strom got to Houston, one of the first things Luno told him was, hey, that left-hander down there that nobody thinks is going to be any good, go keep an eye on him. I think he's got a chance to be good. So this club and Dallas have been good for each other, and he's contributed a lot here.
Richie, Mariznick is the bane of John's existence. Every time he sees him out there, he freaks out. And I imagine, at least for people who watch, the answer would be Tony Kemp. Every time Tony Kemp seems to be in the lineup, things go well for the Astros. And for him, he doesn't play every day. Is he a player that eventually can solidify himself as a guy, no matter what the matchup is, that's in that lineup?
Oh, I think they look at him as an everyday player now, especially against right-handed pitching. I still think you want to try to get the best out of Jake because Jake can give you something as a guy to come in and run the bases or play defense and center. But I think Kemp's an impact player. I think during this win streak, I think he's hitting like 380 or something during the win streak. I think they intend to play him a lot, but you know, always. But against left-handed pitching, you're going to see AJ try to throw all right-handed hitters out there. And with the way Stassi's playing, he can do that.
Yeah. Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. Will AJ take Morton, Cole, and Verlander to the All-Star game?
Isn't that amazing that we're having that conversation? Who would have thought it? The Houston Astros. Well, Altuve is the only position player that I guaranteed of going. And I think you want to be sure you want to give your guys the home field advantage. So I think it's going to pitch depend on the way Charlie pitches the rest of the way. But I think Cole and Verlander are slam dunks. And I would think that Verlander will start the game, although, you know, that comes down to pitching the rest and all that toward the end.
Yeah, if Morton can, you know, he's starting to show a little bit of vulnerability. But if Morton continues and he's got his ERA in the threes, I could see AJ rewarding him, no, for that for game seven. God.
You know, for a guy, he can just go up and down on his body on all the surgeries. This hip surgery, that hip surgery, tore the hamstring off the bone, Tommy John, this. And, I mean, he didn't know if his body would ever allow him to get to this point. And he came here. As soon as he heard that Gerrit Cole was coming here, he called Gerrit Cole and said, man, you are going to love it here in terms of the scouting reports and the way they prepare you for games and the way this pitching coach is and the way this manager is and the environment in the clubhouse. You're going to love it. I mean, I think he feels like he's died and gone to heaven. This is the way he always dreamed baseball could be. And to reward that guy with an All-Star appearance, I mean, that's the coolest story ever. Because he had a reputation as a guy, great stuff, but he just keeps getting hurt. And he understands that.
Yeah. And he is, you talk to him, he is the most, every time he speaks to you, it just seems like he's, you know, so sincere and he's so thoughtful about everything that he says. He's a really neat guy.
Yeah, and one of the things the PR staff warned me about is that when you talk to him, the first time you meet him, he pauses.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's thinking about his answer, he goes, he's not done talking, don't interrupt him. He's one of those rare guys that he listens to your question and he thinks. He is true. I don't know that they have a nicer guy in that clubhouse. But part of the appeal of the team is like guys like Correa and Altuve and Springer. I mean, you just look at those guys and you go, I'm glad they're representing our city.
Absolutely. No, I did that plenty because, you know, I got the microphone and I thought he was done and I pulled it back and then he could continue to talk and I put it back in his face again. And I was like, oh my God, you have to wait. And you don't know whether or not he's done.
Oh, and he is really smart, really thoughtful, but you know, he's a taller guy and sometimes his mechanics get thrown off. I thought they might give him a start off because he knew what he was doing. But it's not that easy to fix on the fly, you know, guys get screwed up sometimes. I had a pitcher, a Cy Young Award winner, came out the mound once and goes, today I forgot how to pitch out of the stretch. It happens. It's a, you know, like one of the things when Correa has struggled, when Altuve has struggled, AJ gets irritated. And you know, one of the things he said about Altuve is, you guys don't get it. It's not normal what he's doing. To get 200 hits every year, most of us had trouble getting 200 for our career. And I think that's one of the players liking because he understands the game is hard.
Now, okay, that said, last thing, Correa though, we saw yesterday the eighth inning home run, and that started it, and the Astros won because of it. But he is not living up to the grand expectations. Are the expectations too much?
No, I mean he is. How old is he? He's 23. I think he's going to be. You ask anyone in the game, if you had a draft of the Astros, I'm pretty sure, just position players, he would be the first pick. He's got a chance to be one of the best players ever. And you're going to go through, the game is going to adjust to you, you're going to go through tough times, and you're going to have to adjust. I just think there's so much. I mean, he's got an 855 OPS. That's better. That's not. That's below, almost 100 points below last year. But he's gonna when the season's done, he's gonna end up with 30 homers and 30 doubles. And yeah, you know, I think the guy is really special. But you know, is he gonna get three hits every day? No. You know, I mean, It's not natural what he's doing, but he's a great player.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just wondered if we're just expecting too much.
Well, no, I mean, look, when you look at the shortstop, you know, when you look at shortstop in baseball right now, Seager in L.A. is one of the great players we've ever seen. Francisco Lindor is a great player in Cleveland. And now Manny Machado is back playing shortstop. It's there's never been this talent level at shortstop in baseball before. And he's right there in the conversation with those guys. There, you talk to talent evaluators because they when they look at him and they watch him swing and all that and they see his charisma and all that. I mean, I don't know between the four of them. Machado would be the first pick. He's only 26 years old, but boy, people love Correa, and I love watching him play.
Absolutely. That's Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5, MLB.com, and you can see him on MLB TV as well. Richard, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you, John.
All right, there he is, Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5. Top of the hour, Billy Harmon and Charlie Epps going to join us. They've got a show on 94.1 every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock and with Brian Barrett, and they will join us here to talk about the U.S. Open. That'll be top of the hour right here. Taking a break, 713-780-3776. Come on in.
ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 751 ESPN 97.5. John Adele along with Harrison. And we're going to have Charlie and Billy here at the top of the hour. So we got a short segment here because Richie, we took up a little time talking to Astros baseball with Richie. Good stuff there, though. A story here in the Houston Chronicle today about Brian Gain. Texans makeover, a culture change. Do you believe there's a culture change on Kirby?
They're unified, right? What's the word they've been using? Aligned?
Aligned.
They're aligned.
You think they're aligned?
Is it simply Rick Smith isn't there, so there's a culture change?
Does the GM create a culture?
I feel like...
I think that's a coaching thing,
I feel like
thing,
that's a coaching
it?
Thing. Yeah. Maybe there's a culture change in the executive branch, if we include Bill O'Brien in that, and they're aligned, and they think alike, and they work together better.
Yes.
But as far as... As fans are concerned, anytime we hear culture change, we assume it means there's a different way of doing things on the field or in practice, and there's a different type of person playing.
Well, do you think that maybe, I mean, they say it starts from the top on down, right? And that would start with Bob McNair. And, you know, hopefully after all of the stuff that's gone on, his hand is a little bit less in it. But... You know, maybe the GM can set the tone that the coach feels really good about the organization, that there's not that tension in the organization, that there's not that tension from the head coach, that maybe he passes that down to the players. Because, let's say, hey, we had, what did you think of Bill O'Brien on Friday when we had him on?
He was jovial.
Yeah.
But then again, it's the off season, and there are no real tough decisions to be made. He's not coming off a loss. He's not going in. He's not game planning for the Patriots.
Right.
So... If he's not going to be jovial now, when else would he be? A guy who's happy-go-lucky, looking to answer questions about the Rockets and others and Little League baseball.
Well, doesn't everybody evolve? And maybe, just maybe, Bill O'Brien has found out, and now he has his extension. Now he has some security. Now he doesn't have... I think someone that he perceived was hurting the organization. He's going to get players that he wants as opposed to, they are aligned now as opposed to the way it was. Because I've heard from people in that organization that said it was a bad place to be. That there was real tension in the air between he and Rick. So maybe that passes down. And the players will feel it more that Bill O'Brien isn't nearly as intense as he was in the past, and it'll be a better place to work.
I imagine when you win whatever perceived battle you're in, and I don't know if he thought Rick Smith was working against him, just working a different way, and it wasn't working. When that's gone and that's not something you have to worry about, I imagine you come in the work feeling a bit better about the situation, knowing you're solidified in your spot. I don't know if he walks around thinking he won, but when you get a contract extension, you get a guy that you like working with in the building with you as well. There's got to be something off your shoulders. Now, as I said, it's good now, but if you're 1-2 to start the season, I don't imagine if we ever had him on again during a season that it would be the same type of interview.
No. No, all coaches are, well, we've seen it. They're Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
I mean, in season, they're intense and can't, you know. You would hope that he would ease up a little bit. Do you think that, you know, Brandon Brooks' comments about, and, you know, you see, you know, he's from the Belichick tree, and you see now all of a sudden it seems to be biting the Patriots a little bit, you know, how intense Bill Belichick is, although Tom Brady told Oprah that he loves Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and he also said he's coming to the end of his career and stuff. So congratulations to Tom Brady for going on Oprah. Okay, whatever.
Well, you like hate.
Yeah,
just hate.
Yeah. Yes, I do, actually. I'm not going to lie. Yes, I don't like him as a player. I don't mind him as a person. I don't really know him as a person, clearly. But I could do without Tom Brady.
No, we can't.
Not dead, just
America
outside
can't
of football.
Do without Tom Brady.
Is he a national
hero?
Yeah,
he's a hero.
Huh. Yeah. I don't know if Bill O'Brien's affected by Brandon Brooks, but I do think it's very easy to have a change of perspective and how you do things out of the heat of the battle. Now, Tom Coughlin is one. We hear that's a classic story. Yeah. Strahan got to him, and the veteran's like, hey, man, you got to – this isn't working the way you're doing things. And he changed somewhat, and they went on to win Super Bowls. Is this Bill O'Brien's moment because of the offseason? Who knows? But I mean, Tom Coughlin followed it up by winning. Bill O'Brien can change as much as he wants, but I feel like he would revert back pretty quickly to the way he's always done things if they get off to a slow start. So if they start winning, maybe he embraces whatever this is and he continues with it.
Well, he ain't getting off to a slow start because they got the Patriots first.
Mm-hmm. And the Patriots always get blown out in the first one.
In week one.
And Deshaun will be there ready to go, and he's the greatest quarterback ever. So I imagine things will be going swimmingly throughout the season.
We're going to talk some golf on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Charlie and Billy are going to join us. They're on 94.1 every Saturday morning. So you can listen in. Their thoughts on what happened yesterday at the U.S. Open all weekend long at the U.S. Open. That's next right here. Don't go anywhere.
I'm in love with the go-go.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.